theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome back, friends.
Welcome, everybody, to another deep thinking episode of Life Out of the Box podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm actually quite excited about this discussion because we have been talking about art a bit, and I think that there's new forms of creating art unlike ever before. And
yeah.
I am very, very fascinated in a lot of the forms, but this one kind of tripped me out when I recently discovered it, and it's basically virtual reality art. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, super interesting. So, where you actually create a piece of art with the virtual reality headset on, and
yeah.
You're creating it 3D, essentially.
Yeah. So oddly enough, I actually did participate in this when we were in Oklahoma. We had a VR 3D printing section in the incubator.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely fascinated, especially by the VR stuff. And now the price is like super cheap. I mean, anyone can get one from Facebook for, I think it's like under 200, like maybe 199 or something. But at the time it was like very expensive. And they have all these different applications and games that you can play. And I enjoyed playing the games. I enjoyed learning about like the community aspect of it. But I also saw that there's a way that you can create basically some form of prototypes in virtual reality world by you putting on the headset and then using the handles
yeah.
or the controllers in your hands as tools to create items. And there's one that I used, I think it was created by Google, and it was very fascinating. So just imagine, like, you're putting on the headset and all of a sudden you're in this room, you know, this virtual reality room.
Yeah.
And in one hand you have a tool. So it could be like a paintbrush. And then in the other hand you have the selection platform. So it's most similar to, what is it, like a paint palette, where
yeah.
you're holding the paint palette. And so with your, when you point your right hand to the left hand, you can select which color you want, you can select which brush you want, what tool you would like to use, and the paint pastel, what do you call the thing?
Yeah, pastel.
The palette?
Palette.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, with the paint palette, you can only, not only can you pick the colors and the tools, but you can even like flip it over and there's like a whole nother set of options, because this is virtual reality. So it's not just paint brushes. It's also things like a foam gun or something that could create like very thin string, or
yeah.
something that you just say, I want a brick here.
Yeah.
You can just select brick, and then in your right hand you have a brick, and then you choose where you place it and you let it go wherever you want it. So the possibilities are basically unlimited, and it's very, very interesting. I played around with it, but there's no way I was very talented at it. But what I've recently found is that there's actually people who are pursuing this as a career, and it's been getting a lot of attention in the last few years, and I think it's right that they do get paid the attention, because it is a new form of art unlike anything I've seen before.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's almost like if you had the ability to literally use anything at your will,
mm-hmm.
you know, and create something in the three-dimensional world.
Right.
Like, that's basically what VR is trying to offer artists, right? And
yeah.
it is kind of confusing, to be honest. Like, if you're not really familiar with playing with VR or using it, it takes some time to kind of get yourself acquainted with,
mm-hmm.
I think, in terms of, you know, usually when you're creating a piece of art, even if it's on, you know, like Photoshop or anything to do with like the Adobe suite, or if it's digital art in any way, I would say it's usually two-dimensional still.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
you still have that, you know, the digital capability of being able to use kind of whatever you want,
yeah.
you know, like bricks or different colors
yeah.
that like maybe would take so long to like mix paint with, or
yeah.
or like foam, like use yeah. your imagination. What
you
do you want to use?
Prototypes of cars.
Exactly.
I think that's what a lot of people thought it was going to be used for, is
yeah.
like, hey, I want to see what the car design you want to create looks like. And
yeah.
then they would make that car, or like, what's the city area look like that you're, you know, if you put the building there, what is that model going to look like? And rather than making a model for a table, if you do it in virtual reality, you could actually be able, you can enable people to answer more questions. I mean, for example, like, what's the sun, how's the sunlight going to be changed when we put this building here? You can change what time of day it is, what mm-hmm. year it is. You could do so many different things that you couldn't do with a table model of a city. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. There are different elements that you can add into the digital world that allow you to kind of test and examine mm-hmm. and experiment with lots of different ideas. And I think right. this space being used by artists is really interesting.
Yeah. See, I originally thought of it. I mean, there's a reason why there's VR in the incubator. And I think it was primarily for creating like prototypes and like using it as a tool in that form. And the reason why I think a lot of people go that way is because when you're thinking about virtual reality art, what is the real value of it? There's not, at the time, it wasn't really thought of that you could actually capture that and like, how can you capitalize on it? How are people going to appreciate it? But just in not too long ago, they've started to really bring in these artists that are creating beautiful pieces of art that can really only be experienced in virtual reality world. And the one that I'm very fascinated by, she actually had her pieces displayed in the Louvre in France and Paris. And I think it's great that they're bringing attention to it. Her online name is Anna Dream Brush, which is interesting.
That's cool.
And she's from France, and she is creating beautiful three-dimensional pieces of art, and they film her creating them. So they have a camera. So this is kind of the way that I'm assuming that it works. She'll go into a studio surrounded by lime green walls. They'll have a camera looking at her, and then she'll put on the goggles, and the camera will show you what she sees. Mm. And so it allows us to kind of like step back and see her creating the art in the virtual reality world that she sees through wearing the goggles. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Yeah. And it's actually really fascinating. We've watched a couple of her videos mm-hmm. where they actually show, you know, the development of her three-dimensional piece. And it is so interesting. Like you just start immediately understanding how important this three-dimensional space is in terms of human creativity, right? I mean, think about it. Like, there's a program called Blender that we were trained in at OSU in order to use any of the 3D printers on campus, which there were a lot. And there was one in our incubator as well. Mm-hmm. And we had to learn the software of it, which is open source. It's free. Mm-hmm. And it's not that intuitive, mm-hmm. but you know, once you start getting it, you're like, okay, wow, this is actually three-dimensional. I'm designing something in 3D in the digital world so that it could be printed out in 3D in the physical world, right? Thinking about that transition mm-hmm. in and of itself, like, we're wanting to make something in the digital 3D world mm-hmm. into something of the physical 3D world.
Yeah.
I mean, most things have gone from 2D to 3D physical, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're transitioning basically using digital 3D.
For 3D. For digital, for virtual experiences.
Exactly. Yeah. And so just thinking about the, like, there's so much potential there in terms of how artists can develop new things in the three-dimensional virtual world.
Well, it brings into the whole like thought of like, how did we get here? And so the first thought that comes to mind when I'm thinking of the creation of digital art is, if we're going to the most simplistic format, in the earliest times that I remember, it's the software program called Paint. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And you basically have like your tools on the left side. You can pick your colors. And in the most basic format, you couldn't like customize a color. It was just like red, blue, green, you know. And you pick the paintbrush. And I remember they had the like spray can, and it would make noises, and the eraser. And then everything kind of just upgraded that. And I still feel today, when we look at like Photoshop, it's as if they saw Paint and they said, let's upgrade it. Yeah. And they just kept on upgrading to what it is today, where now there's more tools, but it's still in a similar format where on the left side, or you can choose where you want it, but basically one of the sides, you're going to have your toolbar, and you're going to select with your mouse or with your a little Apple Pencil or whatever. Yeah. You're going to select which one you want, and then you're going to pick the color, and you pick the tool, and then you're going to paint on the canvas. Even with 3D software, like you were discussing, like Blender, it's actually still very, very similar.
Yep.
And it's like an upgraded version that now allows you to do it in 3D format. But the new way that I do think is absolutely fascinating is, Well, if you're in the 3D world, like you're like inside of the computer, it's almost a weird thought, and you're creating a 3D piece and your hands are your tools, then one hand would be basically like the mouse cursor, and then in the other hand would be the selector, and you can choose using both of your hands which tool you want, and then you create it in the space that you want it to be located at.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely fascinating that, like, to me, this is like one of the biggest shifts that I've seen in this software development, of being able to create, you know, new art creations.
Yeah.
But there's a few flaws with it that I'm like starting to have, like, this is where I think it's an interesting discussion too, is like, so what if you're creating it in the 3D world, unless you're going to export it into the real world? Or if it's something that is like truly 3D, that's not meant to be exported into the real world, like Anna Dreambrush's art pieces, then the key is getting the public to be able to experience it.
Yeah.
How do you get people to enter the virtual reality world and then be able to walk around this art piece and really get a really good vibe of like what went into it? And so one way that she shares it is through those YouTube videos. And so a big part of the art is watching her create it.
Yeah.
But I think that if you really want to experience it, you got to have a virtual reality headset.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah. I think that's what's really interesting, is it's almost like, okay, so we've gone from obviously going from just doing 2D in the real 3D world. Mm-hmm. And then we're going from 2D digital, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going from 2D digital into the 3D world, like with printing, right? And so now what we're doing is we're saying 3D in the virtual and 3D in the physical, right? And that, and actually what you just said is 3D, how it's created in the virtual world.
Yeah.
And then how it's presented to us usually in a YouTube video is 2D still, right? And so the only real way to actually fully experience, unless you've got like some projector that is like allowing people. I haven't either. I agree. It's interesting. If you want to experience something that's been created in the 3D digital world, hardware is required.
Yeah.
And it's not mass adopted hardware. It's getting cheaper, obviously. Mm-hmm. It is getting a lot less expensive for any of us to own the VR headset.
And it will continue to go down in price.
Yes, it will, which is, I think, a great thing. But it will be a trip for more, like, what happens when, okay, we all know YouTube. Everyone's watched a YouTube video or streaming service or whatever. That's 2D.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 3D world being filmed for 2D consumption.
Right.
When more people get access to being able to consume 3D art in a 3D world, not necessarily the physical world, but in maybe the 3D virtual world, that's when I think it's going to really click for people.
Yeah.
Because it's different. It's, we've never actually had the capability of doing that.
Yeah. And now, and as many of you have heard our podcast, as we discuss non-fungible tokens, it opens up a whole new market of being able to put a value on that three-dimensional piece. Whereas previously, that three-dimensional piece is something that is, you know, can easily be copied and shared like any type of file on your computer. But now you can actually sell part of that as a price, you know, as at a certain price. And then you can choose how you want to display your art. If you want to display it in the Decentraland, the virtual reality world, then you could do that. And then people can walk up to your own virtual, it sounds so crazy, but it's real. I mean, you walk up to your virtual reality museum where you keep all of your collectibles, and allow people to experience it in the format that it's meant to be experienced in.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, to me, is, I mean, it's pretty exciting. That, I think that's probably like the vibe that I'm getting with it, is this whole world is going to be different. I mean, just the way, look at how technology has changed for presenting movies or how movies are filmed. So in Mandalorian, a lot of the filming was done in one studio where the actors were placed in the center of basically a circular projection all around them. So in other movies, they would be in like a green screen room. Yeah. But in this, for Mandalorian specifically, they would put them in an area where if they looked around, they would see that they're in a screen, you know, there's projections all around them. But when you're filming it, it's filmed as though they're in the environment that they're placing behind them. And it allows them to be more, like, give it more reality by allowing the actual shading and the lighting to affect how it reflects off of the helmet of Mandalorian or yeah. things like that. There's so many advantages. You can change the sunset. You can move the rock. You can do so many things if you're creating the environment. And I think this whole three-dimensional art creation world that's being kind of just slightly opening the door. I don't think it's full force yet.
No, not yet.
But I think we're going to start seeing movies being enjoyed in virtual reality. Like you go into a virtual reality movie theater, or you just download a virtual reality movie and you put on the headset and you sit down, but now you look around in any direction that you choose to, and you're a part of, you're not necessarily actively participating in it. That would be like a video game. But if you're just sitting and you're watching, that's a 3D movie.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the whole, that's going to be the big shift is when, you know, it already is happening, but it's a lot more expensive for most people to actually experience it. But it's when it, the digital 3D world immerses you and changes your actual reactions, right? Mm-hmm. And it immerses you. It's an immersive experience. It's you're really trying to take someone who's basically lived in the 3D world their whole life and then put them in a new 3D virtual world and see how that works, right? Yeah, and it's going to explode in terms of creativity and how we like really, I think we're pretty limited in terms of how we create in general.
Yeah.
And so I think this is going to add another dimension.
Yeah.
You can just imagine how exponentially more things are available to people that we don't even know about yet. And you know, what was that one ride? There was a ride at, I think it was Disney World. There was one at Boardwalk where you'd like go into the little machine and you'd watch a video and like the machine would move and you'd like get air sprayed in your face. And
yeah, there's a lot of rides like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a one Star Tours at Disney World was where you put on 3D glasses and it's as if you're in a spaceship.
Yeah.
And the whole floor moves, so you feel like you're moving left and right. And then, Bug's Life, they'll actually like spray water, or you feel like you're getting stung.
Yeah.
Or like the stink bomb will make a little stinky smell in the theater. So you're saying that's possibly something in the future?
Well, I just think that that is how we've been. Those have been experiments in trying to immerse people to feel like they're having the real experience, right? Like, wasn't it like Visit California or something like that, where you're like hang gliding over California
right? Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, obviously this isn't real. I'm looking to my left and my right in the world, 3D world. Like,
and
we're
you're
all
hanging.
You're
like,
yeah.
Your feet are dangling.
Your feet are dangling, but you know you're on a machine, so it's like, kind of like the uncanny valley, like this isn't real, and I know this isn't real, so this can never really fully feel real.
Yeah, if you get scared, just look to your left and right, and you'll see
everyone.
There's a million people here. You're not alone on a hang glider.
Exactly, but with the 3D virtual reality world, that's where I think it's going to get there.
Yeah,
where you're like, wait, I really feel like I was just actually
that's
there.
That's interesting. Yeah.
You know, and that to me is going to be, it's going to be unsettling for some people. And I think a lot of people, especially after the pandemic, is like, just everyone go out into the real world, please.
Right,
let's get off of the screens and get out of the digital world. But I think that the bell's been rung. Like, it's not going to stop progressing because people think that it's more important to be outside in the real world. Some people really feel like the digital world is more applicable for them, and it allows them to actually excel more so than the real world
does. Well, it could be you have full control of your environment.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're wanting to be like, we often, like when we're in a low, we ask ourselves, if we could be anywhere in the world doing anything, where would we be and what would we be doing? And there's been times where, like, you know, we're just like so caught up in the moment, and I'll be like, man, I wish we were just like on the beach in Thailand, just like drinking from a coconut and just, you know, hearing the waves crash. And it's like, well, chill. Like, you know, like you're thinking about something that is not possible. Like, how would that ever be something that we could make happen right now? In this new VR world, you can actually say, I want to go there and experience that, and it will calm me down. Like, and that's the environment I choose to be in, you know? And
yeah.
Whatever you want. Like, maybe you like horror movies, and I will tell you, there are some freaking scary video games in virtual reality that are honestly like, there's times where you feel like you're falling. I remember I like set like friends and family up with experiencing the virtual reality. And there's some times where they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Is this like what the heck? This doesn't make any sense. But if you get so caught up into it, it does kind of freak out people at a certain point. And it's only going to get crazier too.
Yeah, it is. Because it's not there to the point where you really feel like it is equal to the real world. Like there are certain aspects that are to come in terms of our digital technology and progress of like, you know, even just the pixelations of things in the VR is not there yet. Right.
Right.
But you know, I would say obviously with great change comes a lot of different disruptions and some people enjoy it. Some people don't. Lots of opportunities. And I mean, really what that girl is doing right now, I think is actually very advanced for
absolutely.
Most artists. Like right now, most artists say, okay, well I was taught in the 3D world, but trained in 2D, right? Trained in 2D. I know how to sketch, I know how to paint, I know how to do this or that. Maybe they'd go out and they actually do, you know, other like installations, more 3D stuff.
So just to make sure I'm following, you're saying most people have been creating art in the real world.
Yeah.
And now they're taking those skills and attempting to translate them into the
digital.
Virtual.
Yeah. Yeah. And this girl is just going full force
just
into digital.
Like hit it and she's sticking with it. And the way that it's being appreciated in this current world where most of us do not have virtual reality headsets is through watching videos of her showing how she's creating it. Yeah. That is the art currently based on the lack of hardware availability to the majority of Earth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but just imagine like when you're in the VR, like imagine having her even having like lessons for people where she's like standing in front of you and she's like, okay, here's how you do this and that.
Right.
And you're just kind of like following her. Obviously it's recorded, but she's teaching you how to do it because I think it would be really, really difficult for me to teach someone how to do that in VR without being in VR. Mm. You'd have to like, you know, there's.
They're doing that a little bit with the green screen.
Yeah.
But I think that the moment where it's going to be like really exciting, where like the threshold shift is when the art is primarily appreciated as the virtual reality image that it is.
Yeah,
that was created.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, I mean, if you Google her, anything that you Google, it's not like you are watching a video of them walking around the art piece because that's kind of a boring video.
Yeah.
It's watching them create it. But I think the real transitional moment will be when everyone's appreciating it in virtual reality. And there's like lines of people just like looking at it and like, you know, stepping over it, like getting up and close. And I mean, in all honesty, you could probably touch it because it's not going to do any harm to it. It's a virtual reality world, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think her skills are probably pretty undervalued at this point in time, but it
absolutely.
Will become...
That's a good way of viewing it.
It will become something that people are very much wowed by, that you understand how to actually, because I mean we've watched, I think it was on Jimmy Fallon when sometimes they used to do virtual reality
that's right,
like
what was it,
charades, right?
No, what was it, sure, like Pictionary or Pictionary, where you draw something
basically. You watch, I mean everyone on there is either, you know, like Jimmy Fallon or just some celebrity or something like that, or an athlete or a musician. And most of them haven't actually been in the virtual reality world. So it's their first time trying to draw something in 3D in the virtual reality world. And you see how disorienting it is for almost all of them. Like, how is this possible? You realize how difficult it actually is. Like, imagine if you could just stand in your room and just all of a sudden, not even with the virtual reality glasses on, you're just starting to create something 3D. In a digital world, it is really difficult to like kind of conceptualize that. So I do think her talents are going to be something that a lot of people look up to one day, maybe just not now yet.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I'm glad you brought up the Jimmy Fallon Pictionary game, because what's interesting is when people do it, more often than not, they're drawing something in the VR 3D world in two dimension. They're like trying to draw as if it's on paper versus actually making a 3D item and recognizing that if your word was trumpet, you don't have to draw all the details of a trumpet. You could literally just draw like, if you have like the foam texture, then you can draw like a line with like an end bit that looks like a trumpet. And then you can grab that and then put it to your mouth and it looks like you're playing the trumpet, you know? So there's like a learning curve with it that we're at the very beginning, and not many people have participated in drawing items in 3D, let alone actually viewing art pieces in 3D.
Yeah.
And or let alone even experiencing virtual reality. I mean, that's really the phase that we're at. And as more people participate in it, I think, I mean, that's the way of the future. I think that's the way that video games are going to go. I think that's the way that we'll be interacting. You know, we do a lot of FaceTime nowadays.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be virtual reality? And now we can, you know, play poker with our friends or go fishing with our friends and do whatever we want in virtual reality world. And it feels even more like you're really there with them, but now you can actually choose where you want to be with them. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. I think about Ready Player One a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if anyone else has seen the movie, but I highly recommend it. It's a good one.
I love it.
And I think that it, you know, there's a lot of sci-fi that predicts a lot of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Obviously we don't know, we don't have a crystal ball, but that movie really made me kind of reflect on what the future of like, why certain individuals really gravitate towards the virtual world, right? Like more so than the real world, almost in a way where there's so little control that some people feel in the real world that they get in the virtual world. So they lean into it, right? And you actually can, like, you don't get to choose what you look like. You don't get to choose your height. You don't get to choose your eye color, your skin color, anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. But in the virtual world, you get to choose anything. You get to make yourself up. Like, who do you want to be?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously there's like good and bad that can come with that idea. But I would just say more in the positive realm is that someone could feel more empowered to be able to really like grow to become the person that they want to be in the virtual world.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than in the real world. And I think that that's something, if that's a positive thing that some, you know, should be embraced in some respects. But, you know, that movie really made me understand that. And it's just like, you really can be anything or anyone in the virtual world. And that's a pretty liberating and empowering thing for some people.
Yeah. You mentioned that currently a lot of people feel more connected with the VR world. Do you think that in the future, when this hardware is, you know, available at a low cost and people can connect to it, just like everyone has like a laptop, everyone could have, you know, a VR hardware. Could you see a world where more people feel more connected with the VR world than they do with the real world? Like, do you think that it will ever get to a point where we'll hit a threshold where more people would prefer to be in VR world than in the real world?
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely do. I think that's already happening. That's already happening. Some people like to be in the digital world more than out in the real world, like even in the two-dimensional digital world
but
on
I'm
the
saying
computer.
Like planet Earth, like if you get it, you did a survey of everyone on planet Earth, and you know, we're assuming that this hardware is accessible, and you ask people, would you prefer to be living in the VR world or in the real world? Do you see a point where the majority of people on planet Earth are saying VR world?
Maybe.
I think that's kind of like Ready Player One.
Yeah, if, you know? I think that if they do, we've probably surpassed the moment of singularity.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think I think that.
How do we get deep into this realm?
I know, but like the moment of singularity when AI is more advanced than our own intelligence, I feel like that is probably going to be around that same time.
Well, I could see so many possibilities with it too. I mean, you know, my family lives in completely different areas than where we are, and your family too. And it's like, dude, why don't we go to the museum today? What if we literally were like, hey, let's go to the museum, and we go into the museum in the virtual reality world. Doesn't matter where you're at, as long as you're connected with me, and we can go explore it, we could talk about it, we could point at things and look at it in different angles.
Yeah, you can have shared experiences in a digital world that feels. Yeah, I think that it's the immersive experience that VR promises that has the potential to really offer people that will change the game for them. And I think that there will always be people who are saying, no, this is bad, real world is better.
Mm.
And that's true, because there's a lot of issues we got to sort out here in the real world, okay?
Yeah.
So it's better but I also do think that it has a lot to do with how the VR digital 3D space is developed.
Whoa.
And hopefully it's more utopian than dystopian.
Mm.
You know, like,
this is crazy.
The plot of Ready Player One is that the real world got to be so bad that no one really could move up or down or feel like they have the agency in their own life to be who they want or anything like that. Like the real world reached a dystopian fate, and therefore people enjoy going into the virtual 3D world more because at least there's a game they can play. There's like the chance that they can actually make it or be successful or whatever it is too. More so than in the real world.
Yeah.
And so I really hope that that dystopian fate of the real world doesn't exist. And I hope that, you know, the reason why people enjoy the VR world is not because the real world sucks.
Yeah.
But I think that there's already people who believe that anyways. So we'll see.
That's a very futuristic conversation.
It is very futuristic, but it is, you know, I think what's interesting about sci-fi is it shows you a lot about ideas that we have and that how a lot of those ideas get manifested by just actually being out there in the world. And so it's important to reflect on them, not say this is a crystal ball, this is what's going to happen, like make sure like if we have the chance to make a correction away from dystopia, let's try to do that as much as we can in both the virtual world and in the real world.
Whoa, good bomb there, babes.
Thanks.
So thank you all for listening. Hope we made you think, because I'm still thinking. I could do a whole nother episode on just extending that conversation.
I know.
But we'll just cut it for now, and we 100% can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. Always appreciate you. Feel free to subscribe and rate and review us, and hasta luego.
We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This journey through sound.